Jayo Gopi Janabalaba Girivarada Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Kira Vanachari Yamuna Kira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Vishnupada Paramahansa Parvyaj Gacharya Shatra Shatra Shishimade Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnupada Paramahansa Parvyaj Gacharya Shatra Shatra Shishimade Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai ISKCON BPT Founder Acharya Hidden Great Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavandam ki jai, Mayapudam ki jai, Gangamaya Munamaya ki jai, Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gauris, All Gauris, Shishi Guru and Gaurangam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Om
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text number 23. Yogeshwaranam gatim mahurnantar Bahish Trilokya Pavanantaratmanam
Bahish Trilokya Pavanantaratmanam
Na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti
Na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti
Vidyatapo yoga samadhi bhajam
Vidyatapo yoga samadhi bhajam
Yogeshwaranam gatim mahur antar Bahis Trilokya Pavanantaratmanam
Bahis Trilokya
Na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti
Na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti
Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Yogeshwaranam gatim mahurantar.
Yogeshwaranam gatim mahurantar.
Bahis trilokya pavanantaratmanam.
Bahis trilokya pavanantaratmanam.
Na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti. Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Yogeshwaranam gati mahurantar.
Yogeshwaranam gati mahurantar.
Vaishyokya pavanantaratmanam.
Vaishyokya pavanantaratmanam.
Karma visham gati mahurvanti.
Karma visham gati mahurvanti.
Anybody else? All right. Yoga Ishvaranam.
Yoga Ishvaranam.
Of the great saints and devotees.
Of the great saints and devotees.
Gatim.
Destination.
Ahu. It is said. Antam, within. Bahi,
without.
Trilokyam, of the three planetary systems. Pavana antam, within the air. Atmanam, of the subtle body. Nam, never.
Karma
be by fruitive activities. Tam,
death.
Gatim,
speed.
Apnuvanti,
achieve.
Vidya,
devotional service.
Tapam,
austerities.
Yoga,
mystic power.
Samadhi,
samadhi.
Knowledge.
Bhajam, Of those who entertain.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.
The transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruitive workers or the gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. Purport. The materialistic scientists' endeavor to reach other planets by mechanical vehicles is only a futile attempt. One can, however, reach heavenly planets by virtuous activities, but one can never expect to go beyond Swarga or Janaloka by such mechanical or materialistic activities, either gross or subtle. The transcendentalists who have nothing to do with the gross material body can move anywhere within or beyond the material worlds. Within the material worlds, they move in the planetary systems of the Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satyaloka. And beyond the material worlds, they can move in the Vaikunthas as unrestricted spacemen. Narada Muni is one of the examples of such spacemen, and Durvasa Muni is one of such mystics. By the strength of devotional service, austerities, mystic powers, and transcendental knowledge, everyone can move like Narada Muni or Durvasa Muni. It is said that Durvasa Muni traveled throughout the entirety of material space and part of spiritual space within 1 year only. The speed of the transcendentalist can never be attained by the gross or the subtle materialists.
Yogeshwaranam gatim mahurantar bahistrilokya pavanantaratmanam na karma bestam gatim apnuvanti vidyatapo yoga samadhi bhajam. Om jnanat mirandasya gnanjana shalakya chakshunmitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vancha kalpa turgasya kripasinubeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we have a beautiful verse today. And the first thing, as we read this verse, we can notice what kind of stands out immediately is it is pointing out that transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body, which is quite contrast to what we see generally in this age of Kali, where everybody is concerned with their material body. People trying to, you know, do all kind of schemes and tricks to stay young, to look good, to, and nothing wrong with that, of course. You know, we don't say that being healthy and looking good is anything bad. But there is too much obsession with preserving the material body, too much over endeavor, I would say. After, you know, some time when materialists, you know, exhaust all their attempts to preserve their youth and they realize, you know, there is wrinkles, there is gray hair, and you can't hide it anymore. Me too. So then they attempt something else. They try philosophical speculation. They try to, you know, kind of go a little bit, you know, one step further in their endeavors, and typically it ends up in some sort of impersonal speculation about who they are and what the goal of life is. So One time Srila Prabhupada was visiting in Australia, and it was a public program. Many visitors came and Prabhupada gave a beautiful speech. And after he spoke, basically it was a time for questions and answers. And devotees asked, does anybody have any questions for His Divine Grace? And, you know, so many hands came up. And the first one that kind of stood up, he kind of, you know, wanted to mainly hear himself speak, you know, rather than ask any meaningful question. So he said, Your Divine Grace, how do you enjoy your stay in Australia? And Srila Prabhupada looked, yeah, I like it very much. And everybody, you know, everybody was, you know, very happy with his answer. Because they identify with the country, Australia, you know, we are Australians. So then Prabhupada said, but I like every place. And then everybody, And then Prabhupada went further, explained, I like every place because every place belongs to Krishna. Prabhupada would connect every, you know, every occasion he had that consciousness, pure consciousness. Every instance he would see in such a pure, pure way. So he explained, yeah, I like every place because every place belongs to Lord. So then a few other people raised hands and asked questions. And then one very egoistic man, he raised his hand and he stood up and he said, today I choose to be God. And everybody kind of like, you know, looked in surprise. And devotees explained, Prabhupada's expression immediately changed. His facial expression changed. Devotees who were close to him, they described his lower lip would start to quiver when he would get angry. Like you would notice that very, very clearly. So Prabhupada was getting really angry. And Prabhupada said, oh, but my God is very powerful. And the man said, today I choose to be all-powerful God. I take the burden of the entire universe upon myself. And Prabhupada, you could see, like, you know, the anger was building further. And Prabhupada said, and today I choose to take my shoes and kick on your face. Can you stop me? And the man was kind of taken back. Give me some time, he said. And Prabhupada said, but my God is powerful all the time. And all audience burst in laugh. You know, everybody realized this man is total nonsense. And the man realized he's just being ridiculous. And he was so embarrassed, he just sat down quietly, and that was the end. But what happened after that is quite interesting. From that extreme, you know, anger to say, Prabhupada changed like this. He was like a lion one moment, and the next he was like soft like a rose. And then Prabhupada spoke in a very soft and gentle voice. He said, please, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time with this nonsense. Don't try to become God. Try to become godly. So I like that, pastime so much, because there's so many lessons we can take from that. And you can see that humility of pure devotee, trying to teach the ignorant jivas in this world, that, you know, don't waste time with the temporary
illusory ideas, try to seek the highest perfection. And this is what actually this verse is pointing out today. So it's saying that transcendentalists, they are concerned with the spiritual body. They don't waste time, you know, doing plastic surgery or, you know, doing this and that. No, this temporary body made of five elements will perish. Nobody can stop it. It's just a matter of time. So rather than wasting our energy and time on futile attempts, these sages, they give us wisdom. Utilize your time to prepare for the ultimate destination. So in the verses prior to the one we are discussing this morning, basically one dominant point I would say was word labdha upashanti. You may recall it from the previous verses. It's quite few times it's being mentioned, and what it means is actually it says the translation is one who has attained full bliss. And as we know, we are all seeking for the bliss. We are entities seeking for happiness. It's you know, our nature, our original nature, Satchitananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. However, basically in this age, it's extremely hard to find it. You know, we can see that the conditions are not conducive, like it's explained here. Basically, in the previous ages, the yogi would control his air life and practice yoga, and in that way, prepare for the next destination. Basically, it's described controlling the life air by prescribed yogic practice, and basically it says the practice is more or less physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalist. For the mode of life and character in those days were favorable, but in modern days, when the influence of Kali Age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. And then Prabhupada is saying, concentration of mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercises of the life air. So once again, the emphasis is on chanting the holy names. So basically, it is definitely very attractive because, as it's described in those verses, there is no influence of time. Once yogi achieves the state, basically there is no influence of time, which is characterized by birth, death, old age, and disease. And then Prabhupada explains, the devotee is the only one who can experience that state. Because by his spiritual service, basically, he attains the spiritual body. But the impersonal is because of his neglecting the association with the Lord, does not develop spiritual body, but remains spiritual spark only. Spiritual spark only. So, the next thing that we could notice, basically the verse is pointing out that the transcendentalists, they can move unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. And then two personalities are being mentioned. The first one is Durvasa Muni. And we know from various scriptures, his name is being mentioned quite often. We know he gave a boon to Kunti Devi, and that's how Pandavas were born, due to his boon that she could call any demigod and in such way conceive a child. But probably one of the most famous pastimes that involves Durvasa Muni, as we all know, is the one with Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was performing fast, and just at the right moment is described, you know, specific muhurta, one moment when it's appropriate to break the fast. Basically, Durvasa Muni arrives with his, you know, disciples, and, you know, he demands to be properly received, and Amparish basically offers his hospitality. But he decides to go take a bath in Jamuna. And while Amparish is waiting, basically that auspicious moment to break the fast is about to expire. So Amparish decides to consult with Brahmanas what to do. And finally the decision is made that by drinking water, he's breaking the fast, but at the same time, it's not really considered like, you know, full eating meal. And the story goes on, Durvasa Muni gets upset and creates demon from just, you know, his hair. And the main point is the attitude of devotee. Amparish basically remains unmoved, completely not, you know, free of fear, undisturbed, you know, even with this ferocious demon. He's completely, you know, humble and, you know, not really concerned about his safety. But Lord Vishnu, not tolerating the offense to his devotee, sends Chakra, which eventually ends up chasing the Durvasa through entire universe. As we know, Durvasa first, you know, starts running here and there, you know, he starts to, you know, looking for the caves to hide. And eventually he goes even to Lord Brahma, asking for protection. Lord Brahma said, "My dear, you know, Durvasa Muni, I cannot protect you. Simply by the wing of his eyebrows, Lord Vishnu can destroy this entire creation. You know, none of us can protect you." Then Durvasa goes to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva tells a similar thing. He tells, you know, myself and all the great sages, Bhrigu, Lord Brahma, we all know past, present, and future, but none of us can even possibly estimate the power of Lord's illusory potency. And then he goes to Lord Vishnu, he falls down, asking for protection. But Lord Vishnu says, "My dear Brahmana, I am completely under control of my devotees. I'm not independent. And what to speak about my devotees? Even devotees of my devotees are so dear to me. So dear to me." There is actually a beautiful verse in the 9th canto, which I'll share with you. Lord Vishnu is saying to Durvasa, "The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them." Beautiful verse. So, anyhow, we know Durvasa then gets advice from Lord Vishnu to go back to Amparish and ask for forgiveness. But what kind of really struck me, I was reading this pastime yesterday, and I, you know, we all heard it so many times. But one thing kind of really, you know, caught me by surprise when I was just reading it yesterday. During this entire time, you know, keep in mind Durvasa Muni, he took entire year to run around. You know, it wasn't just like, you know, quick, you know, event. Basically, he was going from planet to planet and going to even Vaikuntha to visit Lord Vishnu. So entire year passed. During all this time, you know, you would think like Amparish could have taken meal. You know, he could have said, "Okay, you know, this troublemaker is gone. You know, I can now eat peacefully." But no, he was fasting. He was still fasting entire year. You know, how many of us would do that? I speaking for myself. So it is amazing the humility of a pure devotee. So he was waiting and expecting his guest to come back. And when he returned after an entire year, then he fed him sumptuously. What a beautiful culture or attitude to say. So then he basically prayed to Chakra for forgiveness, and that's how Durvasa Muni was saved. So from that instance, Durvasa Muni, he remembered, don't mess with pure devotees, they are extremely powerful. Regardless he was mystic yogi and very powerful brahmana, he realized, don't disturb pure Vaishnavas. They are protected by the Lord directly. Anyhow, many years later, something similar happened. Basically, as we know, Pandavas were in exile for 13 years. And as the time for their return was coming closer, Duryodhana was kind of scheming all kind of, plans how to get Pandavas in trouble or how to get rid of them completely. So as he was contemplating in his evil mind what to do with his, company, Shakuni and Karna and Dushasan, all of a sudden Durvasa Muni arrives with his 10,000 disciples. And immediately Duryodhana, gets up and gets into action. He, makes all the arrangements to receive the sage properly. And he actually decides to serve him directly, because he knew if any of my, inattentive servants does any kind of mistake, I'll get cursed. So Duryodhana was intelligent in that way. He decided to serve Durvasa Muni directly. And he offered a beautiful feast and, all kind of comfortable arrangements for them. So everything was going according to the plan. Everybody was happy, Durvasa Muni was pleased. And then basically when the time came for him to leave, he offered blessing. And evil Duryodhana, he was just waiting for that moment. He was actually thinking like, if Durvasa offers me blessing, he was thinking like, I know exactly what I'm going to ask. So then Duryodhana said, my dear sage, just as you came and, gave your association to us, please go in Kamyana forest and visit Pandavas. And Duryodhana was thinking, there's no way they're going to be able to serve Durvasa Muni and 10,000 disciples. And he specifically said, please go after Pandavas have taken their meal. And the trick was, basically, he knew Draupadi, she received special plate from Sun God that was producing meals, basically, unlimited quantity for, unlimited number of people. And she could feed, so many guests as long as she has not taken her meal. So that was the special blessing from the Surya Dev. How many of ladies would like to have such pot? I think it would be very helpful. So that basically, Durvasa left the kingdom of Kurus and now he's going to the forest. And as he comes closer to the camp where Pandavas are being sheltered, he tells his disciples, you stay here and I'll go and, meet Pandavas and then we will take our bath and proceed on further. So Durvasa Muni comes and Maharaj Yudhishthira receives him, with all respects. And Durvasa Muni said, oh, my dear king, we have been traveling a long way. Please provide for us, you know, we are very hungry. And Yudhishthir, he just folded his hands and said, yeah, please, you know, be it so. And then Durvasa said, we're going to take our bath and then we will be right back. And then Yudhishthir is, you know, totally alarmed what to do, because he realized their situation is very, very troublesome at this point. He knew that Draupadi had already taken her meal and there is no more food. And how to feed so many people, it's impossible. So, as a very intelligent king and householder, he approaches his wife, because ladies are more intelligent when it comes to household affairs. So he approaches Draupadi and he asks her, what should we do? You know, please consider our well-being. It's interesting, you know, powerful Kshatriya approaching his wife, you know, save us. But he did the correct thing. Draupadi, due to power of her devotion, basically she naturally immediately started praying to Krishna. And just, you know, devotion in her heart was so pure that immediately, naturally, spontaneously, she started praying, just like she did when she was insulted in the assembly of Kurus, and Lord provided that long sari. So she was praying, and Krishna, during that time, he was completely, you know, in different place. In his palace, he was sitting peacefully with Rukmini. But all of a sudden, Krishna got up and he started running. Can you imagine that? Like, Krishna is running, like he's in a hurry. He has to go somewhere. And within moments, it's described, he appeared in front of Draupadi, I'm sorry. And Draupadi offered her obeisance and she explained, my dear Lord, we are in such a troublesome situation. We have visiting Durvasa Muni and 10,000 of his disciples, and I do not know how to provide for them. Please do, you know, something. You are the protector of all surrendered souls. Please save us. And Krishna was just smiling. And Krishna said, oh yeah, definitely. I'll do anything that's in my power to help you. But first, you know, I'm also hungry, actually. please, you know, I need to eat first and then I'll do something. And Draupadi said, my dear Lord, and she was so embarrassed, I have nothing to offer. I'm so sorry. The mystic, you know, pot that produces the food only works as long as I have not eaten, and since I have taken my meal, you know, I have nothing to give. Can you imagine that? You know, you have a guest, and not only just any guest, the Supreme Lord, and such intense feelings. And, you know, it wasn't that, like, she was pretending, like, no, she was seriously thinking, you know, my goodness, I have nothing to offer to the Lord of my heart. So, then Krishna said, Draupadi, this is not time for jokes. Please bring the pot. Let me take a look. And she did. So Krishna is looking inside the pot, you know, up and down. And then he noticed there is a little piece of rice and vegetable stuck in the corner. And he said, uh-huh. And he took that little, you know, piece of, you know, rice and vegetable and he ate it. And he said, may the Lord of all sacrifices be pleased with us. And then he said, Sahadev, go and call Durvasa Muni now. And Sahadev looked, but, you know, he didn't question, he didn't say, you know, but Lord, you know, we still don't have anything to offer them. You know, just imagine their faith. You know, Krishna said, go and call 10,000 people, we will feed them. And his faith is so strong. He just, you know, yeah, I'm going to do it. And as Sahadeva approaches that lake where all the disciples of Durvasa were waiting, and he loudly invited them, please, you know, my dear sage, you know, please come and bring all your disciples. All of a sudden they felt so full, and they started thinking, oh my goodness, you know, Yudhishthir probably prepared huge feast for us, and we have no appetite, we can't eat. And then Durvasa recalled, like we spoke earlier, that pastime with Ambarish, and he started thinking, I'm in trouble now. I only offended one time pure devotee of the Lord, and I got myself in trouble to the point that I had to run entire universe to save my own life. And now I'm doing the same thing again. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, we should just run away and you know, save ourselves from the curse, because Yudhishthir is so powerful. If he wishes, we will be all destroyed by the potency of his devotion to Lord Vishnu. So that's what happens. Basically, all disciples and Durvasa Muni, they just decide to leave, and they just, you know, thank Sahadeva for the invitation. And as he returns, you know, basically he tells Yudhishthir, they're gone. They decided to leave. And Yudhishthir and Pandavas, they just offered their obeisances and, you know, touched the lotus feet of the Lord and thanking him for saving them again and again from so many calamities. So I just kind of wanted to narrate that pastime, because it points out, basically, as verses saying, these great sages, both Narada Muni and Durvasa Muni, they're quite different in their character and behavior, but they continuously add to the sweetness of the Lord's pastimes. And they have that ability to travel unrestricted, like it's explained in today's verse. So we want to follow in their examples. We want to be the ones that this verse is talking about, desiring and seeking our spiritual bodies as well. And basically, we find beautiful verse in 6th chapter of Gita, telling us, let's see, this verse is basically stressing the importance of determination in our spiritual endeavors. And it's said, basically, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with undeviating determination and faith. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of false ego, and thus control the senses on all sides by the mind. And then Prabhupada goes on in a purport, and basically he quotes another very important verse from Rupa Goswami, from Upadeshamrit, which says, Utsaha nishayat daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangat yagat sato vrite sadbir bhakti prasidati. And basically points out, how can one practice spiritual path and be successful? And the translation is, one can execute the process of bhakti yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following these prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in the activities of goodness. And then Prabhupada also gives one beautiful example, which I will use as final note in today's class. Prabhupada gives beautiful example of a sparrow you know, the little bird, sparrow. And Prabhupada explains how one time little bird, sparrow, lost her eggs to the waves of the ocean. And the little bird was so devastated that her eggs are being swollen by the huge ocean. But her determination was so strong that she decided that she's going to dry out the ocean to rescue her eggs. And we may think, come on, you know, little sparrow, and just imagine Atlantic Ocean. You know, the proportions are just not right. But just imagine little sparrow trying to take a little drop of water every time, on and on, in her attempt to dry the ocean. And that's what the little bird was doing. So then, you know, everybody was laughing, like, come on, it's impossible. However, Garuda, he heard of that story, and out of his compassion, he decided to come and help. And when the ocean realized Lord Vishnu's personal servitor, Garudaji, is coming, and we know the power of Garuda, he can do anything. The ocean got so frightened that immediately delivered the eggs to the little bird. So I just wanted to point to that little example, that we should contemplate that example and try to basically live in that light ourselves, in our, you know, humble attempts to make whatever progress we can in our spiritual path. So I'll stop here. Thank you so much. If anybody would like to offer any comment, any question, please do so. Yes.
The devotees and what to speak of. So it's pretty, how you say, mysterious that Durvasa Muni has so much power. He can travel throughout the universe and is willing to abide by the plan to for Yudhishthira and whatnot, what to speak of Ambarish Maharaj. Are these just examples or stories? What kind of mystic powers he's following to get such powers or, you know, such advancement of an understanding? He's still a bit in the bodily platform.
It's a very good question. Durvasa Muni is very exceptional personality, and as it's described, he's actually manifestation of Lord Shiva. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I don't know exactly how he came to the platform where he has such mystic powers, but he definitely plays a very unique role in many pastimes. You find it, and I think that kind of nature that he possesses is necessary sometimes to add, you know, to make the more spicy pastimes, to say. Maybe somebody can make more with a comment. Pranagovinda Prabhu.
I mean, I don't know so much details about it, but we know Durvasa Muni is a very special example. He's a Brahmavadi. He's not a Mayavadi, but he's not a pure devotee, Vaishnava. So he's a Brahmavadi. In order to glorify Ambarish Maharaj's position, one personality like him has to be there.
Yeah.
It's not anybody can do this. Who can challenge Sudarshan Chakra? Yeah. I mean, who? Literally, who? Anybody in this whole creation? No. It's only him. Personality like him, that who did 60,000 years meditation. I mean, who is going to do one? I see one life meditation is like such a struggle, we think. 60,000 years, that's a long period. They are very powerful. But after this incident, Krishna used him as an instrument, if you really think very deeply. That in Brahmavadi, if we think very deeply, in the border of material world and spiritual world, where Brahmavadi's residence are, Siddhaloka, it's called Siddhaloka. The lower part of the border is Siddhaloka, upper part is Kailas Dham, or Lord Shiva's abode. So, those Brahmavadis, they will be there forever. Where, how, who is going to deliver them? This incident delivered millions and millions of Brahmavadis to become devotees. In the chapter 25, Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he talks about with Sanatana Goswami Pada, how Brahmavadi is attracted. Durvasa's name is also there, that what they did. So this episode is necessary in order to deliver that how merciful the Lord is. I mean, can you imagine like who is more powerful than Vishnu? His devotees, because of the love they have.
Thank you.
I was also thinking with the Garuda and the bird, not that our endeavor or determination itself is enough, because he has a connection, upper connection. So because we have a connection with Prabhupada, we can also do like that. As long as we have a connection with the higher source, we can. Anybody can, as long as they have a connection. Because this bird, if you look at the trace of this, in Bhakti Shastri, we are tracing the history of this, that the Garuda is also bird and this is also bird. But not that way, but there is a connection is there. The bird was very aware of the power of Garuda. So because of the connection, the Garuda appeared there. So we have a connection with Prabhupada and Krishna. We can also do like that with our determination.
Thank you so much. We'll come back.
Thank you, Prabhu. I would like to underline two beautiful points that you made. The first one where you said that when Lord Vishnu was approached by Devas Muni, he said, I am not independent. In fact, I'm dependent on my devotee. And furthermore, I'm dependent on the devotee of my devotee. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the incident of where Lord Krishna comes and takes that little speck of prasadam, and he then orders that go bring Durvas here with his company. And not one of them brought up the point that, but we don't have anything.
Yep.
Their faith was just amazing. Yeah, wow. It's very, very good lesson. whatever circumstance we're in, if we just depend and realize Krishna is in control, you know, we have to become his sold out servants. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. My question is, there are great devotees within ISKCON and outside too, today presently. Why we haven't heard anyone telling that they have gone to other lokas or planets, and they're telling us, you know, they're sharing, you know, present day stories, and we have so many from the Bhagavatam and all that, but we want to hear, you know, from somebody who is alive and telling us, yes, I have gone to that loka and I have gone to there, you know, we want to hear it from great devotees. I mean, I know there are like so many falsified people outside, but we don't want to hear from them, but we tend to believe, you know, the devotees from ISKCON. So why don't we hear any stories that they have gone and they have seen, you know, and they're really great devotees. They have spent like whole life with devotional service, and I'm sure they have been doing it in their past life as well. So why don't we hear those stories from live person?
Good question. Well, We are in the age of Kali, where typically such troubles are not common, like in previous ages. We find that, for example, Arjun, he actually went to heavens in his present body. But in this current age, such troubles are not so common. Even if someone is on that level, they would not really publicly announce out of humility. Even if somebody is on such platform where they have ability in their subtle body to visit other places, pure devotee out of humility would never really publicly, you know, brag about it. Yes, please do.
Prabhupada's first book was Easy Journey to Other Planets. You know, I mean, and what's the big deal going to other planets in the conditional realm? It's the same stuff that's going on here, just differently. So, you know, we're trying to cultivate bhakti. You know, we're not trying to do a tour of the conditional realm. We've been doing the tour of the conditional realm for millions of births. You know, we're trying to move on to something better. So, you know, we've probably been to all these places, you know, so.
We should have let Prabhupada never said that he has been to sort of a local or any other planet.
What does he mean? Well, his first book was Easy Journey to Other Planets, so he acknowledged it. But why would he need to if he's a guru of bhakti? You know, what's the, I mean, maybe he said it, maybe he didn't, but what's the point of saying that? Faith of who? Well, you know, it depends on the individual, you know. I mean, I personally could care less, you know. I mean, if I can get a ticket to India, I'm pretty good with that, you know, Vrindavan. Swargaloka, whatever, you know. Vrindavan, I'm pretty good there.
Before Prabhupada came to America, some man asked him, so I can go to this planet? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And I can come back? And no, you stay there. And who wants to go there to stay? Nobody wants to go and stay. We want to do devotional service here.
Speaking of traversing destinations, Lord Chaitanya said to, the holy name will be spread in every town and village. And we are now, we are witnessing all these years how devotees have so miraculously, successfully gone to every town and village and presently distributing sets of Srila Prabhupada's books right out on the street dressed in devotee garb. And tilak, right out on the street, a set of Bhagavatams. And this individual, Mahotsaha Prabhu, just the day before yesterday, broke his own record of the biggest, greatest number of books distributed in one day.
God.
I mean, this is outstanding. You know, this is the mission, the desire of Srila Prabhupada. And if we just look at that, not at this traveling to other mystic, you know, flying here and there, you know. This is the order. This is the very practical work, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think she had some questions. Oh, yeah, please.
I have one comment and one question. Comment because in relation to what Mugatmukha said. I had this incredible experience. We all know that this area, for me anyway, is very special. People here really like devotees. I preach wherever I go, you know, like second nature, just to share at Publix, Hitchcock, and wherever shop. And it was Friday, and I was excited because two of my dearest friends, their children were graduating from Santa Fe. So I said, I'm going to go to Publix and get some balloons, you know, for their bedroom because you can't take it to the ceremony. And I didn't realize, you know, I always have my devotional clothes on because I'm coming from here. And I love to wear because it's comfortable and pretty, you know, people comment. Makes me feel good. Anyway, so I didn't know. I had time and all over my forehead. True devotees, you know, they love, they give me the Mahachandam, you know, because they know I love it. And it was remarkable. I thought, what's going on here? All these people were like walking towards me, and then they'd see me, you know, smiles, natural, I'm from the South. I'm used to being friendly, that's to our nature, used to be anyway. And I mean, they were just like, almost like pranaming. Their body posture was like, they were so attracted. And I thought, when I looked at myself in the mirror, when I got, I said, what's going on in the car? I said, oh my God, you know, it was beautiful. It was just beautiful to see the reaction. But my question is this, all those planets out there that we can see in this particular universe that are inhabitable, well, did they go through the yugas? Are they now dead? Like this planet will be dead one time at the end of Kali Yuga? Does anyone know, Prangovinda? Do you know?
What do you mean dead?
I know they may have life forms, but they are, you know, pretty much, we couldn't go there and live without major help. I mean, you know, like they're so hot. I mean, I know Prabhupada said there can be life forms that we can't detect. So then, I'm not a scholar, and I was just curious if those planets have gone through the yugas, and that's, they're dead,
the time effect is differently exhibited in different planets. So what we are experiencing on the planet Earth is quite different than in what's happening currently in the heavenly planets, because the time is not equally manifesting its course.
I know what you're saying, but I still wonder.
Yeah.
They've been said there are four types of annihilation. 12th canto, 7th chapter, 4th chapter you can read. Every day, every moment, something is born and dies.
That's one kind of annihilation. Then there's a secondary annihilation. Every day Brahmaji goes to sleep. Maharloka, all the way to hell, underwater. So that's one kind of devastation, including this planet. Then, end of Brahma's life, there's another annihilation. And the fourth annihilation, that when the soul dissolves the subtle body, goes back home, back to God. So you categorize like this, and it's completely satisfactory. You don't need to know more than that. I mean, my brain doesn't need more than that. But my answer to this Prabhu's question, Prabhupada did say, Bhavananda Maharaj told us this story. Prabhupada said, I did not want to come from spiritual world. But Krishna forced me, he said, no, you have to go. Translate. I'm paraphrasing. Then Prabhupada says, but it's illusion world. Prabhupada said, Krishna says, yes, you translate and I'll make the arrangement. So it's not like Prabhupada Prabhupada did say he's from spiritual world. That should be convincing enough. Why you need more? Bhakti Siddhanta Sutagur, Krishna reminded me many stories. Bhakti Siddhanta Sutagur came down from his living second floor in Chaitanya Mahat. There is no clock or anything, but assuming in the middle of the night, because Bharati Maharaj was witnessing, he told us this story, that he was coming down and then he was going towards the Jogopit birthplace. But there was no road those days. But some or other these disciples, they tried to follow him, but could not follow. It became dark and dark. All of a sudden, they started hearing Kirtanam. How many people? Hundreds, thousands, millions. Such a kirtan that they could not even imagine. Then they went unconscious. Only consciousness came back. All of a sudden they saw that wooden sandal, cut, cut, cut sound, that Guru Maharaj is going back. And next day they revealed. Siddhar Maharaj, they all discussed. So then Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur quoted this from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Adhavadi Seilila Kare Gora Rai Kono Kono Bhagavan Jeev Dekhi Vare Paar. The Mahaprabhu's Leela is going on. Those who are fortunate soul, they can perceive that Leela is going on. So it is going on, it's not something. In our Guru Parampara, there are many examples. Narottam Das Thakur is recently, I mean it's not like thousands here in Bhagavatam, yeah. Recently. Narottam Das Thakur was giving a speech. All of a sudden disciples saw the garland just fell on and fragrance. Everybody was like shocked, they didn't know where this garland came from. But while he was speaking, he was meditating on Mahaprabhu, he made a garland and offered to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu from spiritual world threw the garland on his neck. And that was revealed. So many examples is there. We are not following blindly.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a wonderful example with Naruto. Mataji, here for you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. A very nice class. I was just thinking that having these powers sometime, like I was thinking like in the story of Sita Ram, and when Ram went to Lanka, the demons have all kind of mystic powers. They could fly, Ravana was able to take his chariots, you know, up in the sky, all different things. And Ram was, he was acting as a human being, and he didn't have any of these powers. But still, the point is, when I read the stories in Mahabharata, this thing is trying to... I understood that the mystic power is not, it doesn't show that you're spiritually advanced, you know. So the demons, they're noted for, you know, having all kind of mystic powers in the Mahabharata, I mean in the Ramayana. But they show that Ram was able to defeat all these mystic powers, you know, Ravana was able to, and his son, Indra, and he was able to do all kind of thing and use all kind of weapon. He had all the Vishnu weapons and Shiva weapon and all the thing. But because his motive was not right, he was represented evil, and the others were able to represent, you know, Lakshman and Ram. They represented good. They were able to overcome all these things. So even though you have all these mystic powers and you have all these things, if you're not properly situated, you're not spiritually right, it doesn't mean anything. So I always wonder how come, you know, the demons were able to fly and the devotees weren't able to fly. Even Hanuman could fly. But basically, demons had all these mystic powers. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they were very advanced. They were, you know, they performed great penances to get those powers, obviously. You know, it didn't
exactly.
Come. Yeah, so exactly. Depends upon our motive. What do we want? We want to have mystic powers for some material, you know, gain, or we wanted, you know, to please Krishna. Prabhupada said he could reveal these mystic powers anytime, but it wasn't any need for it, you know. So
exactly.
There was a need.
And that is a very good point. Like you said, if it's necessary for devotional service, devotee can exhibit powers like Hanuman did.
Yeah.
But we can see in the case of Ambarish, on the other hand, he was, you know, so humble, and you know, at the same time, this mystic yogi was creating demon to attack him, but he was not concerned with his safety. So for devotee, devotional service is number one concern, and for that, if we need powers, Krishna will provide. If we don't, we are happily, you know, doing garlands, cooking for Lord, baiting the Lord, chanting his names,
could
doing kirtan. I'm sorry?
Could it be they were given his mystic powers so we could have the pastime? I mean, they couldn't have had all his pastimes without certain of his mystic powers.
Yes, yes.
There's a process in Krishna consciousness. If you follow the process, your faith increases. And we mostly believe in hearing, not so much seeing. So like chanting Hare Krishna, by chanting, that's very powerful. So the faith increases. I mean, the simple things we do, like just cooking and something, it's all mystic. I mean, you know, when you go in the kitchen and you cook and something comes out, it's not, you're making the endeavor and the attempt, but it's all Krishna's energy. I mean, you see a whole different vision. As you get more, you purify your vision, you know, become more and more, you know, I don't know. Your faith in Krishna increases tremendously. I'm like Sri Kadimuni. If I want to go to Vrindavan, I'm not expecting a ticket to drop or something. I'm happy to go to Vrindavan if something, a ticket is there. But
stress, realizing, experiencing directly. So through the process of bhakti, you can directly experience these things yourself. You don't have to take it for granted someone else saying it. Someone else saying it gives you a sense of direction. And maybe, you know, these things have all been said. We're saying them right now. So you don't have to wait for someone else, like as a tour guide, telling you about it. You can experience it directly. So through the process of bhakti. So that's what we're emphasizing. Experience it directly. We don't have to just believe. You know, believe is helps us to make progress. Like, I believe going to school is good, and then I actually do it and you know, get the education and apply it, you know. But so faith is there, but we're emphasizing the direct experience.
That's
what
we're doing. Yeah, that's a good question. Look at how many points we have.
Yes.
It's a good question. Thank you.
Thank you all. I think I love participation, and thank you, Prabhuji, for your question. I will just end with a final note. I think Prabhupada once also pointed out, just look all these boys and girls, you know, they have taken Krishna, even, you know, boys and girls from the West who have no clue about the Vedic culture, they have taken up Krishna consciousness. That alone is a mystic power. I mean, who could do that? So the evidence is already there. All around the world, so many temples on every continent, and you visit any of them, you'll find discussion of Bhagavatam, you'll find Vaishnavas chanting, dancing. So that is the power of Srila Prabhupada in action, exhibited. Thank you all so much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.